2 Peter chapter 3, I want to read the first 10 verses. Follow along in your Bibles. 2 Peter chapter 3, we're talking about encouragement. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And this morning we want to talk about remembering our great God. 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter says, "This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of a reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles, knowing this, that first of all, scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. And they will say, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation.'" Verse 5, Peter says, "For they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that then existed was deluged by water with water and perished. But by the same word the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up, now ready for fire, being kept until the judgment, the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly." And then these three verses we want to look at this morning. "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but the Lord is patient with you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works are done on it will be exposed." Lord, we ask for understanding and motivation, and we're thankful for your word that you have preserved for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Peter's main purpose in writing is to remind us of truths we should already know. All of us, younger and older, need reminders. We need calls, we need text, we need notices, we need mailings. We all have a tendency to forget those important things. I have multiple calendars, and you still forget things because you're not looking at them. My wife put an alarm on my phone, like I needed that, to remind me it's time to work on your memory verses. Where did that noise come from? Here's something else to help us, to remind us of something. There's demonic distractions. There's apathy out there. We need reminders. Peter knew that. And there's certain, on your outline, certain prophetic certainties that we tend to forget, or we can be today distracted by scoffers. There's the return of Christ. Christ will return physically. There will be a final judgment. There will be accountability. Don't get discouraged when you see everybody getting away with everything with no consequences. There will be a day of reckoning coming up, maybe soon. Heaven and hell are real. The resurrection of our bodies is a certainty, and I believe the call from Moses hundreds of years ago is still so pertinent today in Psalm 90, verse 12, where Moses said, and this is a great verse to pray. This is one of the great Bible verses to pray. Moses says to God, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." That's what we need. There's also, in chapter 3, really the whole book of 2 Peter, there's a pastoral emphasis. And Peter this morning, in the verses we look at, is going to encourage us to take advantage of God's patience. The slacker said, the scoffer said, God's not coming, he doesn't keep his promises. Peter's going to tell us, take advantage of God's patience. I have a friend, it's taken years to develop, in my neighborhood there's a New Jersey coalition. And when someone moves in from New Jersey, there's an instant bond. It's amazing. And when they get discouraged, we just talk about the highways in New Jersey and everybody's happy. Well, I've been developing a relationship with one guy for years. He's one of the produce managers in Weiss. And you're not going to appreciate this, but I appreciate it. I love asparagus. I just love it. And for me, the ultimate feast is tapioca and asparagus, you know? Nancy, you haven't tried that one, I can tell. You know, Cozy Shack asparagus, Cozy Shack tapioca. They have it on sale every now and then. And then the steamed asparagus is really good together, breakfast, lunch, supper, I'm telling you. And every now and then, the produce manager will send me a text, and he'll say, "Hey, Dave, I wanted to give you a heads up." It's sort of like having a stockbroker. This is illegal, isn't it? He'll say, hey, for the next 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, asparagus is on sale at Weiss for $1.99. You know what? He says, this will not last indefinitely. And you know what I have to do? I got to get over there. And you know what? I found out that asparagus only lasts so long in your refrigerator. After a while, the tops get rotted and throw it out. You know, God's patient. God's patient. And Peter expects us to take full advantage of God's patience right now. I loved hearing Dr. Marshall's testimony. I love hearing him talk about this because you know what he's doing? He's doing what we all ought to be doing. And maybe we can't design all that fancy stuff. We could use what he's designed for us. But he is taking full advantage of God's day of grace and God's patience right now, because that will not last forever. Seed sowing, work for the Lord, because one day we're going to be evaluated for how we spend our life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And like that asparagus sale, God's patience will not last forever. Believe me. In verse 3 and 4 of 2 Peter 3, Peter tells us that there exists scoffers, and they have an effect even on believers. They can even cause good Christians to begin to doubt and get discouraged. And that's why when we talked about false teaching in 2 Peter chapter 2, I wrote this in my notes, I have to be very careful what I read. You do too. I have to be very careful who I listen to. And every now and then my wife will say, or Dr. Cohn will say, I have these two voices, maybe you shouldn't be reading that. Maybe you shouldn't be listening to that particular teacher, because you know what? None of us are exempt from being led astray by false teachers. We have to be careful. All of us have to be careful. And so Peter reminds us in chapter 3, verses 8, 9, and 10 of some basic truths about God. Okay, we'll go over these a little bit this morning. Number one on your notes, in verse 8, Peter reminds us of our perspective on time. Our perspective on time. And maybe this would be better listed as God's perspective on time. In verse 8, Peter says, do not overlook this one thing. Let not this escape your notice. Don't forget the obvious, or pay close attention. All right? And I want to say this, and maybe I'll say this again. My conviction is, and not all speakers believe this, I believe when Peter's writing, he's writing to true Christians. He's writing to the church. He's not writing to a mixed group of people. He's writing to believers in Jesus Christ that have their salvation settled. That's going to make a difference how you look at the book. Point Peter is making in verse 8 is that we cannot confine God to our own time schedule. We cannot confine God to our own time schedule. You know that. You know anything I'm going to say this morning. Our perspective of time is not the same as God's. And Peter tells us, don't think like the scoffers, because God will always remain faithful to his promises in his time. That's why we pray on Wednesday, right? Because we trust the promises of God, and we wish we'd see our prayers answered sooner. That's why Dr. Marshall is thinking ahead of sending gospel literature way out into the future, because he believes that God will keep his promises. God is faithful. Amen? It's kind of quiet with Mike here this morning. Mike has COVID or whatever. He'll be back. But he is kind of quiet without Mike. Okay, Mike, if you're listening, we miss you, okay? All right, you better be listening. As far as God's faithfulness to his promises is concerned, Peter tells us it matters little if he gave them yesterday or 1,000 years ago. They're still good. They're still true. They're still going to come to fruition. Back to Psalm 90, verse 4. Moses said, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. God's perspective and our perspective totally different. You know what Isaiah had to say because we've quoted this. You can quote this, I believe, in your sleep. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. God said through the pen of Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I love what Pastor Gary said at Sunday school several weeks ago. He said, you know, if the Bible says it, we believe it. That's it. If God said it, we believe it. That's it. Whether we understand it or not is God's thoughts, we take it. I don't know about you, but how, well, I'll ask this morning, okay? How many love Amazon, like Amazon, love Amazon? I see that hand in the back, okay? Come on, how many like Amazon? Yeah, come on, come on. I love Amazon, man. It is just amazing. I don't have any stock in it, but I was returning something at the UPS store a couple weeks ago, one of those Amazon things, and I was just waiting for my slip, and the young guy says something very derogatory about Amazon. So I looked at him, and I said, hey, who should I use that's better? Because maybe there's something I'm not aware of. Who do you have out there that I ought to be ordering from that's much better than Amazon? And he said, there's nobody out there like Amazon. You know, Amazon is great. Tracking, speed. My neighbor, who has Amazon Prime, he said he ordered a bed at nighttime the one day. By 10 in the morning, the bed was there. It just came that fast. Even with Amazon, we are more impatient than ever. Is that true? Can you believe that? Amazon has this amazing delivery, but we want it sooner. How many of you, I want to ask you, a lot of you buy your groceries online and you want them delivered and we want something instantly. When I was in beginning my high school years, my uncle was a chaplain in Vietnam, second tour. And he sent me, we're all hi-fi fans. We're all classic high-fidelity fans. We want to listen to our music with big speakers in front of us and reels and all that. And my uncle sent me a catalog from the PX, the foreign PX. You know what the PX is? All right. I mentioned that to a guy the other day. He never heard of the PX. I said, really? PX is sort of like where the Army people, military people shop. And so he had an international PX catalog with the latest and greatest hi-fi equipment. I mean, stuff that would never be released in the United States because, believe it or not, some of the folks in Japan and other parts of the world have higher quality electronics than we have over here. Same brands, but better models. And so Uncle Dave sent me the catalog, and he said, anything you want, you can order it. You got to pay for it, but I'll get it for you. And so I was doing lawn jobs. I was cutting grass, saving up my money. And I remember that there was this Sanzui receiver, it just came out, 2000X. I was dreaming about that thing, and I saved up my money, and my dad sent the check to the military. Uncle Dave ordered this thing. And let me tell you something, in those days, when you ordered anything foreign, you know how long it took to get from there to New Jersey? There's no such thing as tracking. And I had to pay something called duty, you know, whatever that was. And one day, I remember, months, maybe it was a year later, I came home from school one day, and Mom said, go to your room. I went to my room, and there's that big box of that 2000X Sanzui receiver, and Santana really sounded good on that thing. Wow. I blew out a speaker. Don't tell anybody that. That's where we're at when it comes to waiting. We don't like to wait. We don't like to wait. You know, God's patience is even longer than that. My wife teaches first graders, and they were reading through Revelation, and Revelation said, you know, where Jesus is coming soon. And the little ones heard that and said, did that mean 55 years? No, it means 2,000 years have gone by. 2,000 years have gone by. But God will remain faithful to every promise. I want to look at a verse that I think is powerful. Second point on your outline. I want to look at verse 9 with God's patient plan. This is one very important verse that I think we missed it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Let me read it to you again. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Peter is dealing here with what we might call divine delay. And he's saying several things there. He's telling us that God's delay is not necessarily a lack of God's concern, but God's delay is an indication of a deeper concern. God is not slack. He is not slow. God's schedule is modified by his patience. Let me say that again. God's, it's on your notes there. God's schedule is modified by his patience. We're going to look at Noah again this morning, or some the Noah theme. And Answers in Genesis said it took Noah about 70 years for Noah to build the ark. We really don't know for sure. But God was patient there, giving people an opportunity to repent, to believe, to get on the ark. God is long-suffering. The Bible tells us here God has a desire to see all come to repentance. In fact, the prophet Ezekiel put it this way. In Ezekiel 33, verse 11, God says through Ezekiel, "Say to them, disobedient Israel, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." We're talking physical death here. "But that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back, turn from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel?" God's being patient. He is patient. He had a desire to see them come to repentance. The Greek term for repentance means a change of mind leading to action. The Hebrew term for repentance means a thought of turning around and going in a different direction. And God's patience provides a gracious opportunity, and you know this, for lost people to get saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says this to Timothy as he's giving Timothy instruction for the church. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, after encouraging prayer for leaders, Paul says in verse 3, "This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Now, I want to give you just a little alternative reading of repentance, because when I look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, I see the word "you" in there. He said, "The Lord is not slack or slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you." Who is you? You is you, okay? You is the believer. You as the beloved that Peter's writing to, he's talking about Christians. God is being patient with Christians, hoping that they will come to repentance. Well, how does that fit in? It is not repentance for salvation. They are already saved. So why would God be patient, hoping that we would come to repentance rather than perishing? Well, perhaps, and I think this is what Peter is saying, what he's addressing. Perhaps Peter is addressing straying, distracted believers who are led astray by the scoffers, who are involved in apathy, who are off the track, who are not living holy lives, who are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And Peter, if you like, gives an ancient altar call to get back on track from a spiritually barren life to a life of fruit and productivity. I came to that conclusion, and I called my theological check man, Dr. Cohen, and I said, "Hey, I want to run this by you." And if you call him on the phone, he acts like he's sleeping until you say, "I have a problem for you to solve." Then he becomes alive and okay. So I said, I need your perspective on 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. What do you think?" And I just wait. And he went into full action, and he said exactly what I just told you. And he added something I hadn't thought about. I thought, this is great. Remember, who is writing 2 Peter, by the way? Who's writing 2 Peter? A little louder, come on. All right, very good, very good. Who was there in Acts chapter 5? Okay, someone flip to Acts 5 real quick and tell me what's going on in Acts chapter 5. There's no repentance in Acts 5. Peter was there. Peter led the party here, okay? Peter might have this fresh in his mind even as he's writing years later what happened in Acts chapter 5. What happens in the beginning of Acts 5? Okay, someone tell me. It's not going to appear on the screen for you. I'm not even going to look it up. What's going on in Acts 5? What happened to Ananias and Sapphira during the church service? Or somewhere around there. They weren't singing Power in the Blood, okay, Brian? They weren't doing that. What's that? Why did the Lord take them out? Yeah. They're being deceptive, and you know the story. I believe, like some others might not, I believe that Ananias and Sapphira were believers. They're part of the church. But believers are still sinful, and they were trying to appear like Barnabas, only in a deceptive manner. And to make an example before the church, God disciplined them. They perished. Peter understands that it's possible for a believer who gets involved in an unfruitful life and continues toward that trajectory can lose their life by way of God's disciplinary action. That we don't talk about that much, but that is a biblical concept. I believe Peter is saying God's patience right now, he's being patient with the believer so that the believer in Christ not get saved, they're saved already, so that they can get their act together and do what they're supposed to be doing in light of the return of Christ. Let's check it out in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, this can be convicting stuff if you let the Spirit of God deal with you. In Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 and 17, Paul says it a little differently. The Apostle Paul says, look carefully. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Wake up. The days are evil. Redeem the time. Get back on track. Use your time wisely. Do what? Peter would say, use your time to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Use your time to reach people. Lose your time to love on the church. Get involved in one another. We were talking to some guys the last couple of times and listening to some new lectures by Andy Stanley. This post-COVID effect has done more damage than we're aware of. You know, people are just passive out there. Christians are passive. It's time to reevaluate, recalibrate the way we live, or declutter. We need to evaluate how we spend our money, how we spend our energy, and knowing that you really can't buy back time. Use it, Paul says, use it wisely. And that calls for repentance. That calls for a change of mind. That calls for a biblical change of direction. Paul says, Peter says, bottom line, church, believer in Christ, do not waste God's patience. It's not going to last forever. And one day we will stand before the Lord Jesus, and we will give an account as to how we lived as a steward. And he will either say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or he won't say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Often we lie at funerals. I've said that before. Did I say that, Brian? We lie sometimes, and we just want to be nice. We say a lot of nice things. We're going to say nice things, but not every believer is going to hear that. If you waste your life, you're not going to hear that from the Lord. You'll make it into heaven, and that's great, but you're not going to be rewarded. Don't waste God's promise. Don't waste God's patience. And then number three, Peter reminds us of God's overall promise. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Peter says this by way of the end. He said, the day of the Lord will come, that final day of judgment, when God's wrath will be poured out, will come. It will come like a thief. The world will pass away with a roar. The heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and all the works that are done it will be exposed. That last phrase, will be exposed, is interesting. It means will be found out. And on your notes, when the fire comes, all this will be discovered to only have temporal value. When the life is exposed, when the world's exposed by fire, it will be discovered only to have temporal value. Temporal value. We'll see it for what it really is. We're working on memorizing Matthew 6, and it is a lot of work to memorize Matthew 6. It was so easy years ago. You know, I remember when we were dealing with our kids, my little daughter would hear a song once walking through the mall and could sing it perfectly. Said, "Where did you hear that? We didn't play that stuff in the house." She heard it walking through Walmart or somewhere. Man, when you get up there, it just takes a long time. So we're working and working and working at memorizing Matthew chapter 6. It's a wonderful chapter, but Jesus says this in Matthew 6, verse 19. Let me read it to you this morning. You know it. And if you're from COD, Pastor Hampton faithfully taught through Sermon on the Mount several times. A marvelous Bible teacher, smart man. Matthew 6, 19, Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves what?" Peter says one day they're going to be exposed for what they really are. Okay, worthless. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal," or hack, we would say. "Lay up for yourselves treasures where? Invest in the kingdom, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal." And then Jesus says this. Here's a telltale sign. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Peter tells us that the day of the Lord will be unexpected. 1 Thessalonians 5:2 tells us that. And on your notes, it will be a time of destruction, purification, and recreation. But the end time, as I said, purifying fires will bring out that things we treasure, or most of the things we treasure, only have temporal value. It was many, many years ago now, when we had one of those winters in New Jersey when it was getting extremely cold, and then it would heat up. And for some reason, some of the gas lines in certain neighborhoods were just exploding. It was unbelievable. One night, we went to bed after prayer meeting, and we'll never forget this. We're laying in bed, and all of a sudden, it was like daylight outside. There was a gas explosion up the road by some condominiums, and it was just absolutely amazing. You know, I knew it wasn't the tribulation, because I believe in pre-trib rapture. I knew it wasn't that, but it was one of those times. What happened? Somebody was digging, and the weather was strange, and this old gas line just blew up. It was amazing, absolutely amazing. Governor came the next day to inspect it. But I remember that same winter riding around in Plainfield, New Jersey, a nice neighborhood where a gas pipe in the neighborhood, because of the weather, they told us, ruptured and blew a house completely up. And in the garage, we drove by, in the garage were two brand new Mercedes-Benz, toasted, completely demolished, completely fried. And I thought, you know, that's going to happen to all our stuff one day. There's nothing wrong with having those cars, but you know, one day all the stuff we prize and hold on to is going to be burned. It's going to be burned. What's the lesson for us? Let me give you a couple this morning. I believe we're responsible to not be affected by the scoffers. That's why Peter keeps reminding and reminding and reminding. And we need to use reminders. We need to be reminding one another of biblical truth. We're responsible to take advantage of God's patience right now, knowing that God is patient with his own people, hoping we'll come to the place of recalibration or repentance and doing what God wants us to do. God's delay means more opportunity. It means more opportunity for you and I to get involved in kingdom work for the Lord Jesus. You know, perhaps the Lord is being patient with our nation, giving our nation time to repent. I believe our nation right now, you know this, has openly invited God's wrath, his active wrath. And I don't know how long God's going to be patient with our country. You know, we're messing with marriage, we're messing with gender, we're messing with life, we're fooling around with parental rights. Our leaders on both sides of the aisle have started unnecessary wars. There's perverted entertainment. The list goes on and on and on. And how long will God say until God says enough's enough? I don't know. We're living in a day of grace. We're living in a day of God's patience. There's time to repent. A little while ago, my wife and my daughter were putting together a photo book. They do these yearly calendars. And they got an email that said, for 1 week only, photos, every picture would be on sale for 9 cents. I think it was at CVS. And if you know my wife, she got busy right away. I didn't know he could order that many pictures online. But she did that because she knew that when the time limit was up, unlike a lot of us, some of these places aren't gracious. Well, you know, we missed the 9 cent cutoff date. Well, that's how it is. They're going to be very, very diligent, taking full advantage of that patience, that grace. I believe you and I need to thank God for his patience and get busy. My friend used to play a song on his horn. He's with the Lord now. Work, for the night is coming. Work, for the night is coming. Let's bow today. You know, as Brian comes up in a moment or so to lead us in a final chorus, maybe you need to get out of your seat and come up to the front. We call it an altar. And maybe you need to get on your knees and maybe confess before the Lord that you're wasting time. You're wasting time. Maybe you need to come and confess it before the Lord and before the church that you've been frittering away God's patience. And maybe it's a time to change that. Or maybe you need to just sit in your chair and say, you know what? God expects us to live in light of his promises. And often we're not. Often we're hoarding things. Often we're more excited about other things when God says the end's coming, we'll be evaluated, and today is a day of his patience, and we need to repent and get in line with that. Maybe before we close, we ought to give you a moment just to examine your heart. This is serious stuff. This is serious stuff because my Bible, your Bible, says one day God's patience is going to come to an end, and there'll be no turning back. There'll be no extension. It's time to repent. Time to recalibrate. Time to get in line with God's way of doing things. Father, you've given us so much. You've given us so much. You've given us so many opportunities, particularly during this season of the year. And Father, thank you for many here who are gloriously taking advantage of gospel opportunities, people opportunities, ministry opportunities. And thank you for opening up the door for more. But Father, I just pray that we would examine our lives for areas that need to change so that we may get in line with your kingdom agenda while there's time. While there's time. Knowing that the day of grace as we know it will not always be. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your warnings. Thank you for the Apostle Peter in Jesus' name. Amen.